Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Dear fathers, and very dear faith, we should ask ourselves about our holy patron. Who is this saint? Do we really know him? He's popularly thought of as the saint who helps us find things. Things near vows. Sometimes things we need on short notice, like a parking spot at the mall. But do you know how he became a patron for things like this, things that are lost? Do you know that he is also called the Hammer of Heretics, Malleus Hereticorum? In this sermon, let us delve into his life and learn who is the real Saint Anthony. Our holy patron was born Fernando Martins de Gutierrez in Lisbon, Portugal, in 1195. His family was a noble aristocratic one, and young Ferdinand had a bright future ahead of him. His father was an officer in the army of Alfonso I, the first Portuguese king after the Reconquista had begun. Together with his mother, Mary of Tavera, his parents were well known for their nobility and virtue, and they made sure to give him the best of education. He was enrolled in the School of the Canons of St. Austin near Lisbon, from where he transferred to their school in Coimbra, which was the capital city of the Kingdom of Portugal at that time. He applied himself assiduously to his studies and the reading of the sacred scriptures and also the works of the fathers of the church. He made himself well known to his teachers by his regular method and application, by his sound and piercing judgment. He made quick progress and, together with a profound knowledge of theology, acquired a brilliant and convincing eloquence at a young age. At the same time, by assiduous prayer and holy meditation, he increased in his devotion and grew in the virtue of heavenly piety, without which intellectual work leaves the heart spiritually dry. The canons of St. Austin took good care of his formation over his 8 years in Coimbra until he received his vocation during an event that marked him singularly. At the age of 23, a young saint saw the relics of 5 Franciscans martyred in Morocco brought back in procession through the city. The Franciscans were a young, newly formed order. Saint Francis of Assisi was in fact still alive. And Ferdinand, as he was still called, found his heart in flames with a desire to give up his own life as a martyr for the faith, to lay down his life for Christ in Athens. By prayer to the Holy Ghost, he realized that this desire for martyrdom only grew stronger, and the austerity and poverty of the Franciscan life became more and more attractive to him. Finally, obtaining the permission of the prior, he joined the Franciscan order in 1221 and received the habit in the monastery of St. Anthony, which was in fact named for the father of all monks and was just outside the city of Coimbra. It was here at his clothing ceremony that he took St. Anthony as his religious name. He finally obtained permission to go to Africa, to fulfill his cherished desire to obtain martyrdom. However, as with Abraham sacrificing Isaac, God was satisfied with the sacrifice of his heart and allowed for him to fall ill as soon as he reached the north shore of the continent. He was obliged, therefore, to return to Spain when a storm blew his ship off course and sent him to Sicily. Divine Providence saw to it that as soon as he reached land, you would hear of a general chapter of the whole religious order convened by St. Francis of Assisi. He was able to recover in time to travel there and was able to meet St. Francis in person. He realized that despite the setbacks, the Holy Spirit increased in his heart a great happiness to remain with the founder of the Franciscans, and so he offered to remain in Italy with him. With St. Francis' approval, he was allowed to do so, renouncing thereby all his associations with home and family. Our holy patron looked so sickly and unpromising, since he had traveled to Assisi just after barely recovering from his illness. So he was sent to a small convent near the central Italian city of Bologna. He was perfectly happy there to have menial duties in the kitchen and lose himself in study and contemplation. He never let one word show of his learning, or even of the sublime communication of his soul with God. He listened to everybody and only spoke when obliged, until an accident made his talents known to his superiors and from them to the whole world. At a meeting of the Dominicans and Franciscans, none of the Dominicans who had been invited were prepared to give a short sermon. Our brother Anthony, as he was called up and asked to do so, but tried to excuse himself and therefore had to be compelled by his superior. It was then, under obedience, that he spoke with such eloquence and erudition that the whole assembly was astonished. He was only 26 years old at that time. The news of the discovery of his talent was sent quickly to St. Francis, who sent Brother Anthony to deepen his studies in theology and to teach sacred doctrine afterwards. Over the next few years, our patron taught all over Europe, especially in Bologna, Toulouse, Montpellier, Padua, and Limoges. In addition to his duties, he preached whenever he traveled, and finally he was asked to take up preaching as his primary duty. It turned out that he had always been perfectly docile to the work of divine grace, informing him for this duty. This showed in the pleasantness of his appearance, his strong, clear voice, his excellent memory, and a perfect mastery of the rhetorical arts. Moreover, by his assiduous work, he was well versed in the sacred scriptures, and he had an excellent talent of exposing their meaning and applying them to different situations. All of this was nothing compared to the heavenly anointing with which he spoke. It was clear that he had in him the light and fire of the Holy Spirit, by which he was able to speak with great eloquence and zeal. It was because of the fruit of his years of intellectual study and of practicing every virtue that his words had the power to pierce the hearts of his hearers. His own soul was aflame with the love of God, and by this flame, he was able to give him the same love in the hearts of his hearers. He never lost his desire to die for Jesus Christ, and now had an ardent desire to see this love for his Savior burn in our hearts. Having prepared his soul by ardent prayer and the practice of virtuous living for so many years, he was about the reach of all his people. He was above the reach of all temptations that could warp his integrity or make him weaken or disguise the maxims of the gospel. He had developed the ability to preach to all audiences, from the very learned to the most simple. He was able to oppose the fashionable vices and growing heresies of his time with equal vigor and success. lectures that he dispensed in his preaching. In France, he was called the Hammer of Heretics for how often he would bring the most notorious of heretics to repent and return to the fold of Holy Mother Church. So arduously did St. Anthony push himself. So zealously did he work for the kingdom of heaven that he found himself by death's door at the age of only 36 and passed away on the 13th of June, 1231. St. Francis of Assisi, who had already passed away before him, was canonized in less than 2 years after his death. As St. Anthony was canonized in less than 1 year by the same Pope, Gregory IX. 30 years after his death, when a new basilica was built by the Franciscans in Padua in his honor, another Franciscan saint and general of the order, St. Bonaventure, had his tomb opened, and it was found that his tongue and lower jaw were perfectly preserved, incorrupt. These relics can still be venerated in the Basilica of Padua in their reliquary above the high altar. St. Bonaventure is known to have exclaimed, "O blessed tongue that is always praise God, and has been the cause that an infinite number learn to praise him. Now it appears how precious thou art before him who framed thee to be employed in so excellent and high a function." 357 years after his death, our own St. Francis de Sales went to Padua to study canon law in the excellent university established by the Franciscans. He must certainly have spent many hours in prayer before the relics of our dear St. Anthony. Could it be that by the so-named Ark of the Covenant that he became the patron saint of journalists? Or perhaps it was by the intercession of the Hammer of Heretics that he was able to bring 70,000 Calvinists back to the Catholic Church? So why is our holy patron famous as the saint who helps us find lost or misplaced things? This is because when his commentary on the Book of Psalms was stolen in Romania, the same thief was compelled by an unknown force to bring it back to him, under the pressure of many prayers sent to heaven. While he admired the graces and extraordinary gifts with which God was pleased to glorify St. Anthony, we must not forget that he was raised so high by divine grace, only because through the paths of self-denial and humility, he had learned perfectly to die to himself and to be nothing in his eyes. Pride makes our hearts an abomination to God and puts him at the greatest distance from us. This is the deep wound of our souls, the mainspring of all our passions, the deadly poison of virtue, the fortress of the devil, and the source of all dishonor. If we perfectly root out the evil, then will divine grace begin to establish its reign and display its treasures in our souls. The honors of the altar are not granted to hypersensitive and weak souls that flee from profound thought, bitter suffering, and the battleground, that is, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although God's constant grace accompanies the willing on the road to sanctity, it does not cancel the human struggle against the pull of our fallen natures. The marks of the effort are to the saint what the scars are to the soldier, their true glory. O St. Anthony of Padua, pray for us.